Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of How Love Can Last Forever.
After all.
And we're going to spend some time today talking about the after all of our last 40 years.
Yeah, how do we do it? That's the question.
Yeah, because I think I told you guys, after season one, you guys were so excited. First of all, let me start by saying I'm Pastor Cal Cope. And this is my absolute better half, my baby, my sweetheart, Elise Copeland.
Howdy.
That's the best you got for the folks.
Oh, yes. I'm glad to be back, people. It's been a while.
Yeah, listen, I know that I haven't been as consistent with our every 2 week deal, but because of season one, I've been doing so much coaching for you guys. That has kept me pretty busy, but I'm finally figuring out how to get our schedules together and get more consistent with some things. We got some exciting things coming down the pipe. But today, one of the things that happened from season one is you guys overwhelmingly talked about how you felt like you had hope that love could last forever again because of the stories of all the couples, not just ours, but the stories that the couples told in season one. But you also said this, which kind of had me concerned. You said, I believe that love can last forever, but I'm just having trouble believing it can happen for me. And so I immediately began to try to figure out how can I help folks who now have a hope that love can last forever, and then begin to help folks identify what may be the challenges or the barriers that is stopping you individually from receiving a love that lasts forever. And one of the things that I have found in my coaching time is that oftentimes I have to help people with the initial premise. What the initial premise of what makes love last forever, and what marriage is all about. And quite frankly, I know you guys all think that this is a relationship podcast, and it is a relationship podcast, not a marriage podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the truth be told is for us who are saved, we're in relationship with Christ.
Right.
As the church, we are the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. He's our husband. And so we're in a relationship with him. And so whether you are single, married, divorced, widowed, this podcast can help you in strengthening your relationships. But it's important, I think, for us to understand the premise of relationship. But today, Elise and I are going to try to talk about how our love has lasted forever from the perspective of having the right premise. Now, I think I told you guys before, I didn't know that I was walking in that premise 40 years ago. But that's why it's so much more important to be able to have that conversation today, because today's generation has so much coming at them that if they're not operating with the right premise in relationship, they're going to end up crashed up someplace. Would you agree, Elise?
Yeah, I agree with that statement. Yep.
Right. And so just so much going on. So we're gonna talk a little bit about, you know, what was the how our love has lasted forever. But before that, I want to just kind of reframe the premise. Is that okay? Elise, you got any questions to right now? I've been talking already too much this little bit of time we've been in here.
No, but I think what the key is here is, like, how do we continue to heal each other's heart? I mean, because people are saying, well, what does that look like? What does that, what do you mean? And so we're just going to try and help you, just give you some examples on how we've done that throughout the years, not even possibly even knowing that we were doing it, but we'll just give some examples and we'll go from there.
Yeah. And so I want to kind of, once again, I want to start with this initial premise and understanding how God set it up. So, you know, you have before Christ and after Christ. What can we say for before the fall and after the fall? You know, they got BC and AD, right? Mm-hmm. What can we, I don't want to do BF. I don't know. What is it? Can you think of anything? But I want to talk about what life was like for Adam and Eve before the fall. And I know that we find out everything about Adam and Eve and how God set it up for them. And it only took two chapters in Genesis. And then all of a sudden, everything was changed. But I want to take just a couple of minutes and really have a clear understanding of what God set up for Adam and Eve. And I want to try to help you possibly think about it a little bit different than you may have been thinking about it all these years. Kind of thing, as my collar is messed up, I just noticed. Did you see that? Can you help me, honey? Yeah, she always getting me right, y'all. Listen, we got to finish this podcast. Don't start no trouble. Don't start. We about to take a break. So now you guys remember the story. You know, God created heavens and earth, took 7 days. He made man. First thing he said about man is that it's not good for man to be alone. Right. Then he caused man to go to sleep, took a rib out of his side, made Eve. Adam saw Eve and said, "Whoa, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." And the two were one. I want to emphasize that I know the scriptures and the two shall become one, but they had become one when Adam saw Eve. They weren't separated. Mm-hmm. So they were in paradise together. I want that to marinate for a little bit. I think too often we breeze past that. That they didn't have to work to become one. They were one. Now, Elise, have you ever heard it like that? Because literally in my study time, it hasn't been too long that really kind of registered with me that they were one. That wasn't something they had to work at.
Well, because the Bible says that in Genesis chapter
2. Right. But, you know, I've never heard anybody say that in that paradise, they were one. So now let's take a little bit further. They were one. Were they one when the serpent talked to Eve? She hadn't eaten the fruit yet.
You would say, yeah, they are.
Yeah. They were one.
Yeah, they were one, yeah.
Were they one when Eve responded to the serpent?
Well, you share some light on that.
They were one. And so I think, and this is how, like the Bible says in the first verse of the third chapter of Genesis, mm-hmm. that the serpent was the shrewdest of all the animals that the Lord had made, right? Mm-hmm. And so the first thing he said to man, and I say to man because I'm saying to mankind, I believe Adam and Eve were one. And the scriptures even talk about how when the serpent was talking to Eve, Adam was there. Right? So there's so once again, if God said that Adam and Eve were one, we have them separated before the fall. Because we try to say if Eve hadn't,
yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Right? We done separated them before the fall. To me, I think that is so critical because after the fall, immediately God shows us that now we're going to have to work to be one. Because in Genesis 3:16, the very first thing he says to Eve was, you're going to have pain in childbirth. Yeah. And you're going to have a heart for your husband, but he's going to rule it over you. One version says you're going to want to control your husband, but he's going to rule it over you. It was because of the fall that now there was this battle going on. But before that fruit was eaten, they were one. Now, why is that so important? And this is where we can begin to talk about our story. Love can last forever, after all. So some of our after alls, when I think about how Elise heals my heart, honestly, it is when I mess up the most and the way she responds to my mess ups. Mm-hmm. Now, in the early days, she would stay, but it'd be rough. Like before we had this revelation and this understanding that we're supposed to be here to heal each other's heart, she would stay, and I'm going to kind of softball pitch it to you and then let you finish it up. You talked about how you would stay because you wanted to please God.
Right. Didn't want to, that marriage, I mean, it was serious for me. I didn't want it to fail because of mess ups, but even though it was hurting.
Right. But in the middle of that premise mm-hmm. of staying simply because you wanted to please God, mm-hmm. what was unconsciously, secretly, what were you battling in terms of your thought process of me?
I think I said this before because I had to, this was a new revelation for me because at the time I wasn't thinking this, but this is here because who am I? I have shortcomings.
No.
It's hard to believe, but no, just kidding. But in the midst of your, I'll say failures, I have to think about how God saved me in the midst of mine because I'm not perfect. So I'm thinking I can't give up on my best friend. Because what if God would have did that to me? But be honest, it was hard. I mean, the new revelation is I wasn't going to give up on my best friend. So I'm going to stop it right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I never felt like you were going to give up on me. Mm-hmm. But I began to struggle with you judging my stupidity.
Right? Yeah, because at the beginning, there was judgment. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if that premise, and that's the point that I'm really trying to highlight, if the mm-hmm. premise, if we're working from the premise, I'm going to stay married because I want to be pleasing to God,
yep.
then that's only half of the equation because you can stay married and then look up 40 years later that it's been 40 years for us, mm-hmm. right? And sitting there looking at your spouse like, this is the dumbest joker, but I'm going to stay here because of God. Mm-hmm. That's a big leap.
Yeah.
Between okay, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, but you have to remember what I just said because the mess up, but the equation too here, there's two people in this relationship. Okay, so I also was supposed to say what was my part? And it may what I could have done to possibly could have been more open communication.
Right.
I mean, so
right. And so, you know, and we haven't named any of my mess ups, but like part of the thing that happened in season one, I was very intentional about trying to find couples who had all kinds of issues mm-hmm. because I wanted to try to communicate that it doesn't matter what your issue is. If you can operate from the premise and the purpose that God has designed mm-hmm. for marriage, yeah. it can get through anything. And so for us, what would you say? In my early days, I would lie, trying to catch up,
bills, it was finance.
right? For the most part, it was finance for us, right? But we've talked to some folks and there was some infidelity. Well, I shouldn't say, I don't know if any of the episodes, but I've coached some people and it's infidelity. Mm-hmm. And they've been able to effectively work with the word of God to bring the healing. Now, this is why it's important, because I always say marriages are like snowflakes. There are no two that are alike.
Right.
And so one couple can get through the infidelity, right?
But mm-hmm.
Another couple might not be able to. Mm-hmm. Now, for the couple that's not able to get through it, let's not be confused. That's an indication that there's a hard heart someplace. Let's say our case. Ours was the finance struggle. If we didn't get through it and we ended up getting divorced, it would have been because one or both of us had some hard hearts that we did not allow to get healed. Mm-hmm. See, I don't want us to get focused on the what and not understand the how. Right? I don't care what your what is. God doesn't care what your what is. Mm-hmm. If we understand the proper premise and the purpose of marriage, which is to heal your heart, Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives. And I really just want to start saying ... like Christ loved the church, washing with the water of the word to remove all wrinkles, stains, and blemishes, to present them back to yourself. Now, this is where I get excited, because I'm so glad she keep coming back. You see, that's where you say you like coming back.
Yeah, I like coming back.
No, you like me coming back.
Oh, I like you coming back.
See, I still got a culture. Because the more that she washes me, it makes me want to stay connected to her. The more that I wash her, it makes her want to stay connected to me. And so like I said, for us, I feel my heart getting healed and her care for me when I'm messing up. But for you, Elise, when do you feel most like I'm caring for your heart?
For me, it's because I think in my head so much, because I'm always thinking, not be perfect, but there's not, I don't know what the word is I'm trying to use. Perfect. For an example, and I know when I first was in management, I'm the type of person, let's just get this done. Head down straight, let's just get this done. But if you have employees, there has to be some type of intangible relationship piece with your employees. You need to be approachable, but I'm so focused on, okay, this is the task that we have, forgetting about the personal side. And I had to, Calvin really ministered me to it in that piece, because you showed me some things on what I needed to do in order to just to break out of that piece. And so you helped me out.
Can I tell the story?
As long as it's not too long. Not
that too long. Okay. Yes. So she comes on Monday crying. Yeah, you were. You were crying because, well, so let me put it this way. You had just got finished because people were able to give anonymous comments about their manager. And they kept talking about how unapproachable you were and and it was just wrecking you. Right. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I spent 7 years dating her, and I know that Elise doesn't take much mess. And so what people would consider to be mean or standoffish, I always view that as that's the way she protects herself, right? And she just said this perfectionist piece. Like Elise really hates it if it's not right. Like still to this day.
Yeah.
And so like, i.e., we came home from the honeymoon and she's cleaning every day because everything had to be right. And so she come home, she's crying, and I'm going, okay, honey, what? And she finally tells me everything. And I said, oh, honey, I said, listen, here's what I'm asking you to do. Just go up to everybody that's in your staff and say good morning to them. But now before you start doing this, pull a meeting together and go, listen, this is what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to come to your desk and I'm going to say good morning. I'm not coming to small talk. I'm not coming, but I'm going to be intentional about having more contact with you that's more than just these emails. So I'm going to say good morning. So, but don't expect no long conversation with me. Don't expect a lot of chit chat chatter. I am just going to be intentional about saying good morning to you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so a couple weeks goes by and I say, honey, how's it going? She goes, it's going well. And I said, really? What's happening? She goes, they're just, you know, I had one employee told me, I've never seen you laugh before. I had another employee tell me, you do smile. Because what would happen was is she would get there, but then she had some other employees that said, oh, you just come to work. Like, because she would go and she'd say good morning. And in the midst of saying good morning, she's got her little to-do list that she wants to get done for the day. And so she'll say, good morning, Calvin. How are you today? Hey, Calvin, did you have any questions about that email I sent you? And it was very organic, but they could see when she comes to work, she just comes to work. And so even still to this day, like Elise will work 12 hours a day. And not realize it's been 12 hours.
But to our point, because that's the healing part, because I don't want to say I compare myself to my mom, but I do, because she's just a wonderful person, my mom.
She is.
And so I want to be to that standard.
Wait. Hi, Mom. So, say hi. Hi, Mom.
Okay. And so, And so that was a healing part to me, because he was patient with me. I mean, you go to Corinthians, patient. Love is patient. He's first patient. One. He's patient with me because it was healing, and it still is healing today, because because guys, I really can be. I mean, it's got to be and ducks in a row. And so.
But you've relaxed on that too.
Yeah, I have.
But still. Now, I can be a bit of a slob. But I've gotten a little bit better. My point is over these 40 years, you're still who you are.
Yeah.
And right. I still am who I am. Mm-hmm. But our care for each other, we've both grown a little bit in each of our areas, is my point.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And so once again, I just want to emphasize. So Elise talked about how, and you correct me if I'm wrong, how my patience with you to kind of not be so concerned about being perfect, mm-hmm. and knowing that everything doesn't have to be perfect. Everything doesn't have to be done yesterday, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Now, on the flip side, she's helped me to be not so much of a procrastinator. You know, now in my mind's eye, I don't call it procrastination. I call it brainstorming, or I call it. All right, now don't be starting no fights up in this podcast. But like, I like to let stuff marinate. You know, if I have an idea, or if there's a project I need to do or want to do, I'm not the greatest with, you know, tools and all that kind of stuff, and I don't like, you know, just throwing money to people. And so I'm trying to figure out how to do it the most economically frugal way that I can possibly do it. And I'm not trying to throw nothing away. And so, you know, that can be a bit of contention, because Elise is like, can we just get it done? You know, that kind of thing. And so there's been this, great dance that we've done for the last 40 years. Yeah, I know. She was six. Well, actually, no, she was minus 13. But anyways, but once again, it's just been nice. And once again, the thing that I want to emphasize is, I don't care what your what is.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's been adultery. I don't care if it's been, let's name some of the craziest stuff you can think of. I don't care.
I mean, it's lying. It's not putting that person priority piece. I mean, it could be just little things. It's fidelity. It's
So let's talk. So let's talk about just a little bit about when you say not putting the other person priority, mm-hmm. because there's some people that will grow up, and let's talk about men in particular, that they think what they need to do is be a man that goes out and makes the income, and that's what makes them a great husband. And there could be some relevance to that, right?
It's an important piece of it.
It is an important piece of it, mm-hmm. but your job doesn't come before your wife.
Correct.
And so learning how to make that balance, but now if you grew up and if you were trained and conditioned, you're not a man, if you're not making the income, if you're not able to purchase what your wife, you're not a man. And so you bust your hump to get to that place, right? And I'm sure there are women who believe that that's what they want, right? But then you get there and you go, okay, that's cool, but can I get a little bit more of you?
Yeah.
And so not only is a man growing up thinking that, but you have women growing up thinking the man is supposed to take care of me. But you don't think about what it costs to have a man that takes care of you in terms of maybe they can't spend as much time with you. Right? And so this whole issue of going from his and hers to us, you might have to have some conversations that are a little different about what us looks like. Okay, well, maybe we don't need to have a $1 million house. Maybe we don't need to work 80 hours a week. That's what we thought we needed. You know, maybe we don't have to have the most expensive car on the road. And so this whole, once again, working from the premise of what's healing my heart kind of thing. Let's say another one. Another one is our Eros love is not completely lined up. Eros love is that romantic sexual love. So our drives are different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? In all the coaching that I've done, I don't think I've coached a couple where the drives lined up. There have been times that the wife has a higher drive. There's been times that the husband had a higher drive. And once again, love can last forever if you learn how to work through that kind of thing. And so really, 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 really important to once again identify this premise of how do we heal our hearts? Do you have any other ways that you can remember that your heart was healed over these last 40 years? I think we were talking before about the doctor visits stuff.
Oh.
What that did for you.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, because Calvin, he's such hands-on in our relationship. I mean, he makes it a point to make sure that I'm okay, that sometimes he, even during difficult times going to the doctor, he'll go to the doctor's appointments with me as a sounding board, because sometimes you cannot think clearly, especially if you have to ask some difficult questions regarding your health. And we do that the same way to each other, because I go to his, because sometimes he won't ask the right questions, but
a lot of times I'll go to a doctor's appointment and I just say, hold a second, and put her on speakerphone.
Yeah.
So she can.
I mean, that piece of healing is just because, like, once again, it's the prioritize. He prioritizes me so often. And it's just healing to know that you have somebody that's just, I gotcha.
So let me ask you this. Have there been times or seasons in the 40 years where you felt like I didn't prioritize you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that.
And it has to go with church.
Look here, we about to turn some corners now.
Yeah, because I'm just saying, because you got your commitment to the church. And then
since I've been pastor?
No, I'm talking about before.
In my service years.
Yeah, when you're servicing.
So just let me give some quick timeline. Mm-hmm. So I have been in ministry for probably 35 of our 40 years together. would you say? No, 30 of our 40 years. Mm-hmm. So, because it was like 2 or 3 years in the marriage, yeah. I accepted a call. Yeah. So for the last 30 years, I've been in ministry, and I've been pastoring now for, I guess, 16 years. So for the first 14 years, I was in ministry serving at another, in other churches. So you're talking about the 14 years serving in other churches. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that was like for you.
Well, I mean, you were servicing. I mean, you had to service the people, mm-hmm. which took a lot of your time, especially during some conference time. Mm-hmm. And that was the main priority. So I felt slighted just a bit. And that was kind of hurtful. Because also, too, I also saw that it was hurtful.
Well, but I will say this. It was during one conference that we had a very major health issue with us. And I remember telling them, folks, I'm done. You have to get somebody else to do what I got to do. I got to go see about my wife. And I remember there was a little attitude. And I remember leaving there going, yeah, some stuff is going to change. Mm-hmm. And so, just understanding. And I think that experience helped me to understand that I never should prioritize anything above you. That and the crazy thing that I did when I started my first business. Oh. See, now listen, I'm getting ready to tell y'all something. And once again, the way Elise handled that situation ultimately healed my heart. I believe the Lord had told me to start this business. He gave me this great vision. And I was so sure it was the Lord. I came home and said, hey, babe, I got my own business now. She said, what? I said, yeah, we're going to make tons of money. She said, what? She said, what about health insurance? And what about a consistent paycheck? And and I think I barely had a business plan. I had a DBA. And oddly enough, my very first day at work, I found out something about business ownership that has forever changed my life. And that is the number one thing that oftentimes kills a business is not having is the fact that you can't handle the business you get, not that you don't have enough business. And so for me, I was in a business that I serviced at the end of it. I think I was servicing 12 different buildings, but each building represented 1,000 people. And so my first day, I thought I just get one building and that'll be sustainable. And I went in, got the one building. And at the end of the day, the property manager called me up and sat me down and started writing on this notepad. And she didn't say anything. She started writing a notepad. I'm waiting to get a critique of the day and the service that we gave. And she got finished writing the notebook. She pulled a paper off the notebook and she handed it to me. And I said, what's this? She said, this is the name of 7 other property managers. They're waiting for your phone call. So on day one, when I was happy to just have 1,000 customers, she immediately gave me 7,000 customers. And I spent my entire time with that business chasing my tail, trying to keep up with the business. And it was ultimately what caused me to have to shut the business down because I could not. It was overtaking me and I couldn't catch up to it. And it was creating hell in my house. Quite frankly, watch this. It was that quote unquote hearing from the Lord that almost cost me my marriage. Watch this. What was our issue? Finance. What did I start the business with? It was going to give us millions of dollars. But our communication was in the toilet. Mm-hmm. Her frustration was enormously high. My stress was at levels that I still don't know to this day that I've completely shared all the stress that I had in that process. kind of thing. But watch this. It taught me and solidified understanding the one, how to more effectively become one with her.
Yeah.
To the point that now I don't, if she's not at peace, if Elise isn't at peace, I don't do it. So I pastor a church, and people always, you know, want to measure your ability by how many members you got and how much money you bring in and you know, how big is your church? I measure it by, is Elise at peace? Hmm. Now, for you pastors that have watched this or folks that have been in ministry, I know y'all probably throwing stuff at the little YouTube screen right now. But I'm telling you that the best example I can give to the body of Christ is to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I'm going to let that sit for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so as I have committed to do that, not because I'm some deep and wonderful, but because I've made some major mistakes. I want to be clear about that. I messed that up more times than I got it right. But I messed it up enough times to know I need to keep getting that right. How did that do to your heart? As you see me trying to correct from the mistakes of past, of not prioritizing you and quote unquote hearing from the Lord and going off on this
thing. No, I'm just grateful that, because during doing failures, what's important is that you learn, and that you critique it, because you still have vision. You constantly have vision, but like you said, you make sure that, okay, we're good. And then if you don't see that I'm comfortable with it, then we don't move forward.
I slow down and I wait. So watch this, the gift. What God taught me in our courting days, love is patient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, we ain't even gonna get to kind and does we, I love is patient.
Yep.
I believe that if couples would just learn to commit how to be patient with each other.
Yeah.
So the patience that I learned as a teenager is the same patience that I can now use as I believe the Lord is sharing stuff with me and giving me vision. And I've got I know how to take that patience to the next level and wait. And I'm going to tell y'all now, God is opening some doors right now that's blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I'm not gonna walk through near one of them until she at peace.
And you know, patient, because they're probably saying, oh, this all sounds good. I mean, I could just probably hear people saying, oh, this sounds good, but I mean it's a process. Don't get off the journey. I mean, keep it alive. If you have kids, you know you have to be patient with your kids. You're not going to throw them on the wayside. So just be encouraged, folks. Be encouraged.
But now, you know, I don't know about you, but I kind of like cruising. Like when I'm my younger days, I would speed. I like now, you know, we spend just as much talking about where's the next vacation we're going to go on. What's the next date we're going to take? Mm-hmm. As we do talk about anything else.
Yeah.
And I still get on her nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get on yours. She can't even say it. Y'all see that? That's that perfectionist in there. She can't even say it.
It's like, I know I do.
You know, but we still get on each other's nerves, but the deal is we've learned how to be patient with each other.
Yeah.
And watch this and enjoy the ride. Okay, I'm enjoying the ride.
I was getting worse. I was like, cruising. Come on, do it. Cruising.
On a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so once again, this whole premise of understanding how do we care for each other's heart. Now, in the last, would you say 3 years, let's say 4 years now, mm-hmm. we have really at the forefront understood that our interaction with each other is about caring for each other's heart.
Definitely.
And so I don't know about you, but these last 4 years, I feel like God has multiplied our oneness. Like the first 30 years, he was adding it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's been this exponential growth in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but it gives me such a freedom as I continue to do what I think God is setting us up for. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your peace moves a whole lot quicker. In terms of,
yeah, because as you we communicate more. I mean that's the communication piece is there, and then you know, we still have our little like you ready, and I'm like, and we have to get on the same page. I don't want you to think we got this all. It's all
yeah,
because it's not.
We still on the roller coaster, and sometimes it's cranking to go up nice and slow. And you know how you get at the roller coaster and you get at the top of the roller coaster and you got that moment where it doesn't do anything, and then it goes and then it starts thinking all the turns. And so, you know, we've got that going on for each other. So now you shared how your heart was cared for. And like I say, you know, and I think I've shared this before, but I think it's worth sharing again. We were at our lowest point. I didn't want to be with me. I didn't know how we were going to end up. Mm-hmm. Like we were on very, very thin ice. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget Elise grabbing my hand. And she simply said, I help me to see. Help me to see how are we going to get out of this? Mm-hmm. And I did not have an answer at the time, but all I could think was, thank you, God, that she still, there's something in her that still wants to ask me that question. It did something to my heart that, the enemy can never take away. I don't know what you guys may be going through. And I know what I have been coaching in this last year since season one is trying to help people understand that you really can have relationships that will last forever. They don't have to be temporary. They don't have to be, for just a short period of time. Kind of thing. But learning how to go from an eros love, which is what most of us start off with, is that whole physical, sexual connection. And that is important. And that is love. Unfortunately, it is the love that is often misused and abused. But it is love. And it is wonderful. Come on. No, I need verbal. I need.
It's great.
but it is wonderful. But what makes it wonderful and long lasting is when the two are striving for agape love, which is unconditioned, non-self-seeking love. Mm-hmm. And so, helping couples to understand, helping individuals to understand, if you really want to have a satisfying, connected, oneness relationship, and initially starts with that eros love, if you understand you are striving to constantly trying to walk in agape love, you can have a love where someone is patient with you. Mm-hmm. Now, my challenge, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to be patient with someone else? We all know what we want in love, but is the thing that we say we want, are we willing to give it? So let's end with a little bit of a challenge. What is it about me that's most challenging for you today? Yeah, just pick one now.
I guess it would be the, because you know I process things different. I take time to process, whereas you, the communication piece is like let's right then and there. But I think that's just one little piece. I think that's what's challenging. That's all I have for you.
Is that you feel like just so that I understand that what you just said. One of the things that's still challenging for you is you still kind of feel like I'm not as patient when we have to talk.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah. So what's for you? What do you got?
And I think that the perfectionist in you, oftentimes I have to tell myself that she's helping me with the details. As opposed to trying to shoot it down. But now in our conversation, what that does is I've challenged you to word things differently.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And so because the Bible says that there's power of life and death in the tongue. Mm-hmm. And there are times that Elise has great insight on some detail things, but in the early days she would frame like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. You, as opposed to, hey, have you thought about,
yeah.
Hey, well, let's check this. Mm-hmm. And so while sometimes I'll still hear it in a way that seems discouraging, right? I try to find a way to tell her, let's word this differently. And I can tell... I can tell that you like in the early days you just come out with it, but now I can tell that you take some time to try to think, okay, how I'm gonna say this to Calvin, and you're probably saying this so he don't blow up or so we don't have an argument, but how do I say this to Calvin, so right, and so once again that's that dance that we're doing, yeah. Where we're learning how to more effectively communicate each other, and once again. To bring definition to the life that we're trying to speak to. You know, I'll never forget one of the first retreats we did, and I'll close with that. One of the first retreats we did for the church. And remember we were doing personality types.
Oh yeah.
And like 90% of the people were in your camp. Mm-hmm. And it scared the life out of me because I thought, oh my God, I am frustrating those people. To no end. And I can tell you right now, I can see the little group of y'all sitting in that corner. I don't know what your color was. You remember what your color was? We was doing the colors thing. I don't know what your color was. It might have been green. I think it was green. I don't know what your color was, but literally everybody in that corner at some point came to me frustrated, mm-hmm. because I was the visionary. And I wanted to move fast, mm-hmm. and I wasn't as concerned about details kind of thing. And I thought, God, you got to help me because they're a great resource if I know how to effectively communicate with them, work with them, and they're maturing too, mm-hmm. right? If they understand this roller coaster that we're on and how we work together kind of thing. And so I pray that this has been good for you guys. Once again, we wanted to get on because like I told you in my coaching sessions, I've been trying to help people understand how love can last and how you can make it happen for you. And if we understand this premise that love will last if we were both learning how to care for each other's heart. How do we care for each other's heart? And how do we go to the Word of God to figure out how to do that?
Yeah.
You know, and when I'm struggling to do it, because there will be some people that have watched this podcast and their marriages didn't last because of finances. There'll be some that they didn't last because of infidelity. There'll be some it didn't last because of lying. There'll be some it didn't last because of all kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. And don't let the enemy bring judgment or make you feel judgment for that.
Yeah.
But let the Lord speak to you to identify what is the hard place in the heart.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing. If you are not in relationship, if you will do that work, it'll make your picker better. You'll be able to pick the right partner. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to be a better partner if you identify what the hard places is in your heart. Now, Elise, you got any hard places in your heart still?
Yeah.
I got hard places in my heart too. See, that's the thing I want to emphasize. We're going to spend the rest of our life getting our hearts healed, getting the wounds and the wrinkles and the blemishes healed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spend the rest of our lives doing it. As a Christian believer, whether I get married or not, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing that.
Yep.
And so we got to understand that's the premise we're working from, is we want our hearts healed, transformed, so that we can look more like Christ. Because you can't look like Christ without getting healed. Your house, the size of your house doesn't tell me you look like Christ. The value of your business doesn't tell me you look like Christ. The quality or the expense of your clothes doesn't tell me you look like Christ. The way you love and care for each other tells me you look like Christ. Okay, yeah. Before I start preaching. You got anything else you want to say?
Nope. I think this was good. I just hopefully that you hear our hearts, because I want you to be encouraged through the Word of God, through some examples that we gave, and stay on that roller coaster, whether you're married, single, and know that God loves you.
Divorced or widowed. I don't care where you are. Yeah. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Didn't say it's not good for man to be single. I know a whole lot of married folks that feel alone. So this is a word that will help you no matter where you are in life, no matter what your stage is. Baby, I like it when you come on.
Oh, gee, thanks. I like when you have me. No, not really, because I don't like being on the camera.
It's getting a little better, though, isn't it?
Yeah, just a tad, but.
So y'all have to write in and say you want to see more of her, and that way she'll come on more. Well, listen, here we are at another episode of How Love Can Last Forever After All. I'm Pastor Kyle Cope, and
Elise Copeland.
That's my baby. Until the next time, remember, I don't care what you've been through, love really can last forever. After all. Peace. I don't know we do peace.